Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. This is the reading of God's word. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lord, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh, Father, grant us the ear that is able to hear your voice through your word. Let us truly hear your word so that your word will make us grow unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be like him. And Father, we pray that your gospel will be preached correctly, and that your people will hear what your Son has done for us, and that we will rejoice because you are our God and we are your people now and forever. And Father, even as we preach and hear your word, we ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Let us hear your word as we worship you with all of our hearts. We thank you and bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our looking at this chapter. Verse 1 says, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals." The plan of God that He fulfills through salvation and judgment. The new creation that God accomplishes through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the content of that book. No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth is able to open the book or to look into it. No one is worthy. Only thing left to do is weeping, and that is what John does. But we hear the gospel. We hear the angel saying, "Stop weeping. Why? Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." Our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished all things. And He is accomplishing all things. And He will completely and perfectly consummate all things. He overcame. How? Through His death and resurrection. Verse 6a, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain." You see, brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, the lion is the lamb. The lamb is the lion. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a man, as the one who is greater than Moses, to lead His people of a new exodus. The exodus from sin. The exodus from this world. He came as the Passover lamb of His people to save them from the bondage of sin and Satan. He bore our sins and died on the cross to pay for our sins. His worthiness to break the seals, comes from His redemptive work through His life, death, and resurrection. The victorious Lord and God Jesus Christ, through the perspective of this world, He is a letdown, a lamb as if slain. He does not meet the expectation of the world. That's why the world does not accept Him. He is a lamb who is slain. But to us, He is the most glorious God and the Lord Almighty. Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8 and verses 4 through 6. "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of My people, to whom the stroke was due. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him." You and I have been invited to live the same life, this glorious life that our Lord has lived. You and I are called as the faithful witness to be faithful to God until death. We too are called to take up our crosses daily to follow Him. Now Jesus Christ our Lord, who has accomplished it all, verse 7, and He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Everything changes now. Before, no one was worthy. And only thing that John was able to do is crying. But here, Jesus Christ, He came and took the book out of God. What does that show us? That He is worthy. And what does that show us? That He has accomplished all our salvation. Because it is by His redemptive work that worthiness comes. So this is an awesome sight when we see Jesus Christ come to God and take the book out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. What does this show us? It shows us the new age has begun. It shows us the heaven has already been accomplished. Daniel chapter 7 is now fulfilled. There, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 through 10, verse 13 through 14, and verse 18. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and Ancient of Days took His seat. His vesture was like white snow, and hair of His head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before Him. Thousands upon thousands were attending Him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before Him. The court set and the books were opened. I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before Him, and to Him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. But His saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. So Daniel showed us not only Jesus Christ receiving the kingdom, but His saints also receiving the kingdom. And in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelation, we see that prophecy is being fulfilled. All that we read in the Old Testament is being fulfilled. It is the inauguration of the eternal King. John chapter 5, verse 27, and He, God, gave Him, Jesus, authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by rising Him from the dead. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18b, Jesus says, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, You have put all things in subjection under His feet. For in subjecting all things to Him, He left nothing that is not subject to Him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to Him, but we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by grace of God He might taste death for everyone. that Jesus Christ our Lord, He now sits as the King, and the new era has begun. His kingdom has begun. But remember that His kingdom comes in two stages. The new creation is fulfilled in two stages. At His first coming, He fulfilled this spiritually. And in His second coming, all that He accomplished will be visible, visibly consummated. Thus, we use the phrase already and not yet. Yes, His kingdom has begun, but we have to wait for His consummation. But just because we have to wait for its consummation does not mean that it has not begun. All have been accomplished already spiritually, but it is not visible. It is not consummated yet. There will be a day when Jesus returns. All will be visible. He sits as the King, even though not visible. Now He will judge the world and consummate the new heavens and new earth. So what you see in chapters 4 and 5, it will be visible one day when He returns. But we are already looking at that reality through the Bible that God provided to us. At His first coming, at His ascension, He accomplishes everything and He now sits as the King who is Almighty God. What is He doing? That is what we see. He is judging the world. But judging the world is also saving His people. Now, of course, some of us will think, man, it takes so long for Him to do that. It has been 2,000 years. But understand, a day is like 1,000 years to God. 1,000 years is like a day. And all the understand also that His plan has to be fulfilled in every detail. Every people that He has elected, He has chosen, must be saved. And it takes, you know, how long time that He has planned. It is not our interest to know how many days or when He will come back, because He did not tell us. But understand what He's doing, though. Even right now, He's judging the world and He's saving His people. And if you want to understand that better, then go to the Old Testament and see all those events where God saves His people. Whenever God saves His people, first, He has to judge the enemies of His people. So like in the book of Exodus, whenever before they come out, 10 plagues, 10 judgments had to come to Egypt. And after that judgment, 10 judgments, then finally Israelites were saved. And that is what is going on right now. As the King of the whole universe, He's judging the world. And He is saving His people. Even as He judges the world, He saves His people. But when that day comes, when the final judgment comes, the final salvation of His people also comes. No, so many people think that God is weak. non-Christians say God is dead. No, He's not. And you have to understand, our religion is all about faith. Yes, it is impossible for non-Christians to believe this. Even when they look at what's going on in the world, they cannot believe that God is in control. The problem is, even with the Bible, so-called Christians do not believe that God is in control. You have to understand what is really going on, brothers and sisters. It seems like the world is winning. Seems like churches are so weak, at least true churches. It seems like you might even ask yourself, if God is living, what is He doing? Well, the Bible shows you what He is doing. And the way that He does His things is not according to the methods of this world. The way that He does anything, the world will never understand, because it just does not make any sense to them. Yeah. Why would He do it this way? Well, that is His pleasing will. And your job is to believe. Have faith. And I don't know how long this judgment will go on, but one day it will be done. And that's when all of God's people will be finally, completely, perfectly saved. He sits as the king, even though not visible. And now as He breaks those seals, He will judge this world and consummate the new heavens and new earth. Remember, that is what we will see as we see the things happen in this world as He breaks the seals. Now, next Lord's Day, we go into chapter 6 and we see the breaking of the first seal. And it is all about the judgment. But remember, brothers and sisters, that the judgment of this world is also salvation for His people. Now, as soon as He took the book, what happens? All creation goes into praise and worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As soon as He is revealed to be the one who is worthy, as soon as He takes that book from the Father, the whole creation goes into worship, worshiping of this Almighty God. And that worship is forever worship. Heavenly forever worship has already begun. And it will never stop. It will continue forever. And even as we worship here today, we are actively participating in that worship that has already begun. And understand what would be the occasion of this worship. Why are we gathered here to worship our God? What are we celebrating? Our Lord, Jesus Christ, He has accomplished everything. And now He is the King who rules over everything. Verse 8, when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, harp, don't take these things literally. I don't think, maybe it's true, I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll all have harp, each one of us. And see, we don't even know how to play. But what does that show, though? It shows that people are praising God. Harp points to the praise of God. Psalm 33, verse 2b, sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. But here we see another thing that is very, very important. That is golden bowls full of incense. Now, incense. This reminds us of Old Testament tabernacle and temple. Do you remember temple had two rooms? And the front room is holies and the other inner room is holy of holies. But the holy of holies is covered with a tent, like a door. And right in front of that tent, there was an altar of incense. So, right in front of the Holy of Holies, the altar of incense, and that we know now, it represents the prayers of the saints. Your prayers. So that incense had to be continually burned, continually raised up to God in the Old Testament. Psalm 141, verse 2, may my prayers be counted as incense before you, and lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. My prayers be counted as incense. And it is a pleasing aroma to God. If you go to Revelation chapter 8, which we will look later, but Revelation chapter 8, let me read from verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer. And much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. There, not only we see the prayers of the saints, but there we see that the prayers of saints are added to the incense and the smoke of that incense. We will look at this more detail later, but here we are able to say that our prayers are added to the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is He doing in heaven right now? Our Lord is praying for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, He, Jesus, is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them, to pray for them. So when we pray, our prayers are not just going up to God alone. Jesus Christ, He prays all the time, always. And our prayers are added to His prayers. That's why we keep saying that our prayers must be according to the will of God. So that when it is added to Jesus Christ's His own prayer, that it will be the same prayer. Now, if this is true, then what kind of prayers we must pray? What would be, what should be the content of our prayer? If you understand that your prayer will be added to Jesus' prayer, what would you ask of God? We said that you should pray the things that even Jesus himself would be able to say amen to. Do you have confidence when you pray the things that you pray? Jesus himself goes amen. And that's how we should pray. Leviticus chapter 10. Let us go there. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1 and 2. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. A strange fire, strange incense they offer up to God. Now these are the sons of Aaron. Aaron is the priest, high priest. And they offer up a strange fire that God did not command him or commanded them. And they died right there. Of course, even as we worship a God in a completely foreign manner from what the Bible requires, we don't just strike dead right there anymore. But it does not mean that it's less bad, less sinful. You and I, we dare not mix with our Lord's prayers for us with strange fire. That is why you and I, we must study the Bible to know the contents of our Lord's prayers for us and pray accordingly. But again, even as we see Jesus ready to break this seal, but we also see the incense, the bowl that is filled with incense, which is the prayers of the saints. Now, this is very, very important. Now, what you are going to see from chapter 6 is that he will break a seal, then judgment comes upon the earth. But in chapter 8 of Revelation, as our prayers are added to Jesus' prayer, what happens in verse 5? Then the angel took the censer and filled with it the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. The censer filled with it the fire of the altar. So the censer has incense in it, and he throws that bowl with incense onto the earth. Then what happens? And there follow peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. What are we to conclude here? Yes, God is the one who carries out his plan. But as he carries out his plan, your prayers are included in his carrying out his plan. Yes, God wants to. It is His pleasing will to work out His plan through your prayers. And you knew that from long time. And we see it in the book of Revelation. Yes, it is God who is judging, but our prayers are used in judging this world. He does not have to carry out His plan through our prayers. No, He doesn't need anybody. But it is His pleasing will. That's how He wants to do things. He wants His people to pray, and He will carry that out. But don't misunderstand. It's not like we are able to change His mind just because you pray so much that even though God wanted to do this, but because you pray something else, now God will change His mind. No, that is not what it's saying. But it is His pleasing will to use your prayer in His carrying out His plan. This is just how He wanted it. We participate in the work of God through prayer. This is what we see in the book of Revelation. So do not ever think that your prayers are insignificant. We feel like that whenever we pray. We feel like, it feels so weak. It feels so insignificant. But when you pray according to His will, it is not insignificant. The cosmic events are the result of your prayers. Every time you pray, Thy kingdom come. That will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray that Jesus will come quickly, what are you praying? You're praying God to judge this world, do everything that He has planned. Understand what you are praying when you pray according to the word. Even earthquakes, a lot of floods, all kinds of diseases, they all happen because of your prayer. Do you understand that? As you pray for Jesus' coming quickly, you're praying all these things. You're praying that God would judge this world so that God will perfectly and completely save His people, save us. You have to understand what is going on. You got to have the perspective of the Bible. Now, you know, these things are laughable to the world. When you go out and say this kind of stuff, they'll laugh at you. But it is exactly what the Bible teaches. And you must believe. You must have faith. God knows what He's doing. He is judging the world. But the world is just not repenting. They don't understand. And with their distorted view of God, they even curse God. Verse 9 and 10, And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. A new song of the new era in which the salvation of God's people have been accomplished. When you go to chapter 14, verse 1, Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. And if you go down to chapter 15, verse 2. Chapter 15, verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire. And those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are you, your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. You see a sea of glass, and on the shore of sea of glass, they sang the song of Moses. Now, this reminds us what happened in the book of Exodus, in chapter 15. Well, let me read to you there. Chapter 14, verse 31. Exodus chapter 14 verse 31, When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Now in language, in terms of the Old Testament, now you see then people of God, after they're completely and perfectly saved, and standing at the shore of the sea of glass, now they sing the song of Moses, the victorious song. The new Exodus is now accomplished. Isaiah told us about new Exodus. The new praise for the new Exodus, the true Exodus, the new creation. That's why book of Revelation is full of this word new. Chapter 2 verse 17, a new name. Chapter 21 verse 1, a new heaven and new earth. Chapter 21 verse 2, new Jerusalem. Chapter 21 verse 5a, behold, I am making all things new. But brothers and sisters, what you see in the book of Revelation is our present reality. But remember, all is being accomplished in two stages. First, spiritually accomplished already, but second stage, the visible consummation, not yet. That is a different order than what we see in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the salvation and the judgment come first, then praise. So whenever you read what happens in the Old Testament, you see God saving God's people, judging the world, then people who are saved, they give praise. But for us, we praise now, even though final judgment has not yet. We praise now, but because even the final salvation is not yet, because spiritually, it is already accomplished. But in our lifetime, the way that it is experienced by us, we praise first, and the final salvation comes later. Reverse order of the Old Testament, but it is not really reverse if you understand that spiritually it is already accomplished. So we give praise to God. Jesus has received for us that final judgment, already saved us. Thus now we praise, even though the final judgment for this world has not happened yet. But the final judgment for the world is coming. And after all is fulfilled, we'll praise God in that glorious place forever and ever. You were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. The new Exodus has been fulfilled. Do you remember the purpose of God in the Old Testament Exodus? Exodus chapter 19, verse 5b to 6. Then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, royal priesthood, kings and priests of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished it. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen race. Now he's not talking about Israelites here only. He's talking about the church. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Yes, not just the ethnic Jews anymore, but of all tribes and tongues and peoples and nations. The Old Testament Jew pointed to the true Jew of God, all who are in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about the true Jew as the inwardly Jew, and they are purchased with his blood. Yes, you have been bought by God. You are now his own possession. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28b, Paul says to the elders, shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Yes, we are his, and we are his kings and his priests. And all has been accomplished. In heaven now, the eternal praise and worship of God has begun. The singing of a new song has begun. The new creation, the new kingdom, the new heaven and new earth have already begun. God's people praise God in verse 8 and 10, and the myriads of angels praise God in verses 11 through 12, and the whole creation of God praises God in verses 13 and 14. All have been accomplished. Now our God is not just the God of creation, but now, he is God of salvation. Chapter 13, verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Fatal wound was healed. What does this show? The sinner who belonged to the world worshiped their god Satan. So there are two kinds of people. One kind worships God. The other kind worships Satan. Everybody is worshiping. The difference is, whom do you worship? Is it Satan or is it God? Obviously, you and I, we came to God and we are worshiping God even now. And that reality is revealed to us in the Bible. The sinners who belong to this world worship their god Satan. But God's people are gathered even today to worship the true God. Brothers and sisters, you have come to God. You have come to heaven to worship our God. Romans 11 verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Jesus has indeed already accomplished all things. He has triumphed. He has overcome the world. See that through the Word of God. All of His victory and His accomplishments. See it and believe it. And now endure with your faith. And with your faith, witness the reality of heaven that our Lord has indeed accomplished all things for us. Because if you do not see heaven, then this world is everything to you. Because that is the only thing that you see. Thus, you will never be able to overcome this world. If this world is everything, then we must have it. But it is not. Do you hear the praises of heaven? Even as we gather there to worship, do you hear? Do you see what has been accomplished? And that is what we see in the book of Revelation. Let me read a couple verses to you and we'll end with that. Verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. You are an active participant of this worship in heaven. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us worship our God now and forever. He is truly worthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. It clearly shows what Your Son has accomplished for us. It clearly shows what Your Son is doing even now. Oh Father, give us an ear to hear. Give us an eye to see Your Son and what He is doing and what is really going on. Oh Father, it is a glorious sight. And we thank You that You are our God. We thank You that You have already accomplished all things. And we thank You that one day Jesus Christ will come back to consummate, visibly consummate everything that He has already accomplished spiritually. Until then, let us understand that our Jesus Christ is King. He reigns. He judges this world, and He saves His people. And the final judgment will come, and the final salvation, perfect and permanent salvation of Your people in Jesus Christ. Oh, come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.